Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Take two.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and that is Todd Adkins.
What? I had a squeaky arm. Not my arm, yeah. But the arm that holds my microphone. I did not put it over in front of me. Daniel started doing his traditional thing that he's done now over 360 sometimes.
Well, 388 times.
380 sometimes. And sure enough, he wanted to start again.
You know what we should do? Okay, here, we'll do a competition.
What are we doing?
You can write up, listeners, this is for y'all. If y'all can write up a better intro script, right? And we choose yours to be the official script. And I'm okay changing, especially as we're coming up to episode 400. If you can write a better script, and this is not just some random script. You need to know what newchurches.com is all about. Not just the podcast, but our plus membership courses, everything on newchurches.com. If you can come up with a better 2-3 sentence script, and we choose yours to be the official new one,
right?
We will swag you out like you've never been swagged out before.
Wow, Daniel.
Yeah. Like, that's we'll big. Send you over $100 worth of swag.
What about people that are more like me and Ed?
Which is
people that don't want to write a real one. They just want to write one that's beyond next level silly and fun and obnoxious.
Yeah.
Do those people get anything?
They can send it in. I'm not going to give you anything. But
why wouldn't you give them something? If we picked the very best one, we could read them both. We could say, okay, this is the one that is...
Okay, if it's decent, we'll satire send you version. Some swag.
Not satire. Well, maybe satire. Just fun and funny and real with wrong enough to be funny. But not so wrong that we can't read it on here.
Yes. Okay. So here's what you can do. In order to enter, you can, and how about we do it like this? Because Twitter is, 280 characters?
Yeah.
So try to keep it under 280 to a Twitter message. Or if you can't, you can email me, daniel@newchurches.com. But be sure to tag me at Daniel Sanggi. S-A-N-G-I is my Korean name. It's my part of my, that's the second part of my
Twitter. If you can't
Twitter
spell
handle.
That, just spell at Todd Adkins.
Yes, or at New Churches, and you'll enter into the competition. Okay, so enough of that. Let us go into today's question from Byron Ellis, who is trying to submit more questions than our friend from Saskatoon.
Oh, yes. It's a little competition.
It is a competition. So here's another one from Byron.
Hey guys, Byron here from Texas with another question. I'm wondering about a leadership pipeline. Our church is about 3 years old. We're growing. Things are going very well. But we've never implemented a leadership pipeline before. I know you tell me all the time, leadership pipeline, get a leadership pipeline, get a leadership pipeline. But I've never done it. Well, now I'm listening. And so we're going to start a leadership pipeline in our church, but we don't really know how. So what does it look like when you've never done it before? What does that first meeting look like? And then how do we move forward after that? I greatly appreciate all New Churches does. Looking forward to listening and learning with the rest of our team. Thank you guys so much.
Okay, so before Todd starts talking for the rest of the episode, because he pretty much dropped the mic when he heard the question. Before he does that, I do want to say, Byron, when he was saying that question, and every time he said pipeline, I just imagined him with like this big cigar in his mouth. I mean, like pipeline, pipeline,
pipeline.
All right, go ahead, man.
All right. So first and foremost, we will actually be in Austin in a few months in September.
Yes. Yeah, dude. Yes. Okay. Do that. Come to our pipeline coaching day
and bring your staff or launch team or whatever you got.
Yeah, I think we're at 300 now, multiple services.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Bring them and we'll do this together.
Yeah, leadership.lifeway.com/events. That's with an S. leadership.lifeway.com/events.
And
in Austin, September 12 and 13. And we're also doing this coaching October 17 and 18 in Nashville if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to get out of Texas.
Hot chicken, right?
And yes. And we won't even make you choose between me and Daniel. We'll just, you can come and it'll be one of us.
Yeah. We'll let you, no, but we will let you choose because usually we don't let people choose.
No.
But because Byron.
He has to come to one of ours.
Yes. Yeah.
Because there may be we may have another coach or two there.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's we'll let Kevin Peck do something. I don't know.
Kevin who?
It is in Austin at his church. Maybe we'll let him do something.
No, Kevin's awesome.
Okay, so leadership pipeline. How much time do you have? The big thing that I would say is my team had to deal with me. I was in Alaska, actually, this week doing leadership pipeline at the time of this recording. And one of the shots I fired over the bow was in a random text message to our team. I am tired of hearing people talk about revitalization, church revitalization everywhere I go. That's not a slam on any one, you know, person, program, entity, or whatever. The big thing that I was trying to convey there is at the end of the day, if you want to revitalize your church, you have to revitalize your people, and you cannot get beyond the basic discipleship and development of your people to do that. A lot of times what happens is, especially as we grow or experience a lot of rapid growth, we get so far ahead of ourselves, we overcomplicate things, and we drift off that initial purpose of why we started the church in the first place. Mm. So, which is, of course, the people. That's the only thing that is the church, is that local community of that body of believers that is under your care. So that's first and foremost. Your job is to equip those saints for the work of the ministry. That's the underlying piece of pipeline. There you go.
Yeah, and he gets that because he's heard us talk about it enough, especially if you also tune into the Five Leadership Questions podcast that we do together as well. But for his church, for his context, where would you, other than coming to our pipeline coaching, right, what would you encourage him to start with this week?
I would say start with your story, both the stories that we have out of scripture for why this is important, the old story. Mm. And then next I would talk about your personal story and your stories that you want to embed in the culture of your church. I know it's a new church. Mm. And that's awesome. You still have some early stories to tell where you've seen conversion and growth in the life of people. Focus on that.
Yeah. And stories
more than anything else.
And stories where you've moved from being a doer to being an equipper.
Oh, totally. So ultimately, if you're lucky enough to have a 2 Timothy 2:2 type story on stage where it's like, hey, I, Paul, you know, what you've seen in me, heard from me, Timothy, put into practice with faithful people who will go and do likewise. Mm-hmm. You know, that is kind of what we want to see. That's four generations there of development of someone who made a disciple, who made a disciple, who made a disciple.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what pipeline is all about, is to say, hey, it's not just, can I, you know, do this work? It's how do I do this in a way that develops someone else who then in turn, through the way that I've done it with them, I've now modeled how to do this with somebody else. And that's when, you know, the work of the ministry moves from what is a transactional work in many churches to a transformational work, because it really equips and engages people in the work of the ministry.
Yeah. Okay. So before we touch on the 7S framework that drives our coaching, and we're not going to have time to get through all 7S's, which is why you need to come out to the coaching, but we will give you some practical tips just after we come back from a brief word from our sponsor. Small groups typically meet once a week, but life happens every day. That's why Lifeway created the Daily Discipleship Guide. This new addition to the Bible Studies for Life curriculum is used at the weekly meeting to help generate discussion, but it also contains 5 daily devotions to reinforce this learning all week long. And this consistent time in God's Word helps create the habit of daily Bible reading, which is an essential behavior for growing disciples. You can download 4 free sessions of the Daily Discipleship Guide at BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. That's BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. All right. So back to the content around Leadership Pipeline. What are the 7S? What does that stand for? And let's get into some of the maybe some of the structure slash system pieces as we close out this episode.
So what you've got here is when we talk about a 7S framework, it is really how am I going to create and embed this in, you know, my culture? How am I going to cultivate leadership development and discipleship in the culture? And so we would say, hey, if you're starting this from scratch, this is the order you need to go in. If you are an existing established church and you're trying to implement Pipeline, this is also the order you need to go in. And that is go back and start with scripture and the story that is there and how that is fleshed out in your own church. So start with story. Then you move into the strategy. And strategy for us would be Leadership Pipeline. And this is strategies, you know, can come and go. But the big thing is with Pipeline, it's the underlying philosophy and framework of everything we do. So strategy is just making sure you are crystal clear on where you're taking people, what their next step is. And when you get them there, making sure that everything they do is easy, obvious, and strategic. So the reason why we would say you move from story to strategy is you're really beginning to lay down the foundation. So then you've got structure. Now, this is beginning to sound really corporate because you're like, oh, I thought this was supposed to be organic. Well, the weight of development when it rests just on the shoulders of the pastor is impossible to bear. So part of what you're doing is you're stretching this load across this framework, across the structure, across the strategy, across the systems, and so that it doesn't become impossible to bear. And in fact, you're able then to democratize development to everyone. Mm-hmm. You're able to call everybody into that work alongside of you. So you're moving then from that strategy to that structure. Let's make sure our structures across our church are not siloed, that children's and students and all the major ministries of the church are structured in a way that makes sense. Why, you ask? Well, because research says that 2.67 times is how many times the average volunteer or leader serves in your church. So what that means is you may say we have this many volunteers in our church. We have, you know, 80% of our people are serving. And I would say, no, you've got about, what would that be? Maybe 30-some percent serving. They're just serving 2.67 times.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, guys? And so what happens is when people are serving in different areas of our ministry and we have a different structure, already the communication begins to break down. It is not scalable. It will not grow with our church. And so that's why it's so important to get down the structure. We also talk about definitions and words build worlds and stuff like that in there.
Yeah.
Then we get into systems, and systems are the day-to-day, Sunday-to-Sunday processes, policies, onboarding, all those things that help get people engaged and involved and are part of the regular work of the ministry. So those systems pieces are super important as well. You may not think things like processes and policies are important, but they actually are really, really big when it comes to cultivating culture. A policy that you put into place actually creates a culture. You may not think that, but whenever you put a policy in place that may be there because you don't want this to ever happen again, or whatever it is, it could be a training issue, it could be a trust issue, it could be a competency issue. But no, instead of addressing one of those three things, instead I put a policy in place or another check and balance process in place and involve someone else or another parts in the system that frankly are unnecessary if I've done the first three things correctly. If I've created a clear vision and values, if everybody understands that and they understand why we do this here, why we're calling them into work alongside of us, then they're going to make good decisions and I don't have to have all these extra things in place. They're going to make decisions in alignment with their culture. Then we're going to get into skills, and that would be, what are core competencies we want everybody to have in our church, no matter where they're serving? And then, of course, role-based skills. Oh, this person's a small group leader, or the small group, they're a volunteer in a small group, or no, they're leading our whole small group's ministry. We have a specific training pathway for each one of those people
on grid,
and also can help you write competencies if you don't know how to do that. And finally, if you talk about style, we would say, hey, we're not trying to digitize discipleship or development. What we are doing is trying to address the fact that we now live in the 21st century, and people need to be able to connect to our training in a digital way, but process it in the context of a relationship. So I still want to feed you a steak. I'm just not going to invite you to a 6-week training or a half day training anymore. I'm going to give it to you in bite-sized pieces and have you process it with somebody. So Daniel has written a great blog. If you went to daniellin.com, and
daniellin.com, not daniellin blah blah blah.com.
You should, dude.
Yeah.
You need to buy that one and redirect it. But he wrote a great article on flipping the classroom that is just absolutely essential to what we do and how we see things. Now, again, you've heard me say before, I'll give you a little context to this. You've heard me say before on the podcast that I'm the result of good and godly people in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky, that probably couldn't have asked me a good coaching question, but they were there and they were a good godly person who is perfectly capable of having the conversation. Mm. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to deliver really good content and then create the questions, the framework, so that we have conversations that move us forward, catalytic conversations that move people forward in their development.
Yeah. So as you can tell, there's a lot. There's a lot. And
a lot.
That's because the entire 7S framework that our team at Lifeway Leadership developed has brought over 4,000 church leaders through. And that's not in large conferences where it's 1,000 people at a time.
No.
No, these are in small group environments where we are coaching either a singular church, or in these events, the pipeline events that we're doing in Austin and in Nashville coming up, in groups of under 40 people-ish, right? At the max.
Per room, yes.
Yeah, per room. So we have multiple rooms going on. So definitely bring your team out to Austin or Nashville this year. We also do this individually with churches. What's interesting is this last week, actually at the time of this recording yesterday, I spent all day with a church from Memphis on their discipleship pathway stuff, right? So if you've heard us talk before about both leadership pipeline and discipleship pathway, in order for a church to get to the vision that God has called you to, you need both. The strategy of your church is, on the one hand, leadership pipeline, and on the other hand, discipleship pathway. On the one hand, it's about equipping the saints for the work of ministry, and on the other hand, it's maturing them toward Christ. So what's neat is, yesterday as I was walking through all the discipleship pathway stuff from my book, No Silver Bullets, with this church, we inevitably talked about leadership pipeline,
right?
Right? Because it's different processes, but you need both, right? And as we were working through a lot of the discipleship issues, there was like, okay, if you all don't want to burn out and you want to keep on doing what you need to equip the saints
totally.
For the work of ministry. So there is just a quick thing I want to throw out there before we end the podcast. Anytime you're recruiting, there's this, and you're looking at, hey, who can lead this small group, or who can lead the ushering ministry, or who can do this? We all have a set of requirements that we have and we hold to. Most of the time, they're not articulated anywhere.
No.
And there, but even when you look at that set of requirements, there is this unconscious point. There's this point in our unconscious where we're like, oh, you know, this person has been serving. Actually, I think they have what it takes to move up. And for a lot of times, if you can sense it, if you're a good leader and you can make the ask, but it never transfers beyond you, which is why you as a pastor might be the only one who is recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
So in order, and it's not a magical, it's not a feel. No, they're actually competencies. based on research, role-based and core competencies that you can outline before your leaders and say, this is how you can grow, this is how you can develop, and this is who you need to look for as you're recruiting. So what we do in our entire process is we just make it really tangible and implementable. So it's not just some, you know, drawings on a piece of paper.
This is not theory.
No,
we killed
no.
our conference, guys. We killed our conference.
It's true. We did.
Because we didn't want to do another conference. We didn't want to have theory. We want you to actually shift from being an intuitive leader to an intentional leader.
That's good.
That's good. The shift.
Awesome. So we hope that was helpful, and we hope that encourages you to come out to one of our coaching times coming up. So just go to leadership.lifeway.com/events to see all of them coming up. All right. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you guys next time.